Welcome to Rivers Week 4. You know, boats have always been metaphors for life. It's like we all have been given this boat. Our boats all look different, but at the end of the day, all the boats have to go into the water. We have to live this life. The days, the weeks, the months, the years, they roll by. We all have different experiences, but the one thing all boats must have is a boat launch, a place to put into the water, and a place to come back. A starting point, an ending point, an anchor, if you will, to know where to begin and where to end. Today's going to be all about understanding the boat launch of our lives, because the scriptures teach us that there's something that we need to remember as we traverse the waters of our lives, as we take the boats God has given us, big or small. All of our boats are different, but we all have to get in the water. And the water sometimes is rough, sometimes it's deep, sometimes it's overwhelming, sometimes it's even treacherous. But if we remember where the boat launch is, where we put in the boat and where we bring it back out of the water, we can make it through anything. And the Bible gives us that today. It's going to give us the place to start, the place to end, the place to remember no matter where we end up, the place that holds us together, the boat launch. And it's this: no matter what you go through, no matter what kind of water you take your boat through, God is with you. So today we're going to go to the Word of God. If you have your Bibles or your devices, wherever you're joining us from today, we're going to go to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to go to chapter 43. Now, Isaiah was a prophet. That means that God was speaking to His people through Isaiah. And Isaiah was speaking to the people of God during a time that was going to soon be tough for them. There was soon going to be some really bad things on the horizon. But that would not change the fact that they were God's people. So what was happening here is God is reminding them of who they are and who He is. And we read these words in Isaiah chapter 43, beginning in verse 1, it says this: "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Now, those are some incredible words that we're gonna walk through today, because those words would be like a boat launch, if you will, for the people of Israel. And because the people of Israel got these promises from God, they are also true for us as God's people. We learn a lot. They had specific meaning for the nation of Israel, but they also have meaning for us. They tell us about what God does with and for His children. They tell us about life. These verses teach us so much. And what these verses really do is they describe the boat launch for our lives, the thing that we need to remember no matter what we're going through, the place we begin, the place we come back to, that God is with us, who He is, and who we are in light of that. Today, as we explore this idea, my hope is that you'll be encouraged, that it'll give you hope, that it'll give you confidence, that it will help you no matter what kind of waters you are about to face. So as we look at these verses right out of the gate, I want you to notice a couple of important things. It says, "But now, thus says the Lord." Two important features there. First of all, "but now." The prophet is saying that there's going to be a time, and they're really going through it at that point. Bad times. They're going through rough waters. The boat of their lives and their experience as a nation collectively and as individuals, the people of God, going through rough times. And then Isaiah gives these incredible words that should be hopeful for all of us, but now. See, the one thing you see today is the rough times don't last forever. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to the people of God. And God allows His people to go through tough things, but they don't last forever. That's really good news. And then there's some more good news in this first piece of the scriptures we're looking at today, and it's this: thus says the Lord. What this means is He is speaking to His people. Now, don't just blow over that. Don't just miss the power of those words, because what this reminds us of is that our God is the living God. Our God speaks. The God of Israel was speaking to them. That was unique because He, our God, the living God, is the only true and living God. This means that our God is not an idol. Remember, Israel was in a land of idols. There were people and nations around that worshiped objects that they had made themselves, or they worshiped nature, things that could not speak to them. But the living God of Israel and our God, He speaks. Why? Because He's alive. Our God's not made by human hands. He's not an idol or a statue somewhere. He's not an idea. He's not a force. Our God is the living God. And we are reminded here at the beginning of Isaiah that when we traverse the waters of our lives, we have a boat dock. And the one who built that dock for us, the one who gave us that, He is alive. We didn't conjure Him up in our minds. He was here before us. He is the everlasting, eternal, everywhere at one time God. And that's really good news. Today, let's just take a moment as we begin to explore this and be grateful for and be astounded by the fact that our God is alive. The God who created all these things around me, the God who created this beautiful river, Magnolia River, and this boat launch that I'm standing on right now, He is the living God. So here in Isaiah chapter 43, God begins by reminding His people who He is and then their relationship to Him. That's the boat dock. God is building the boat launch, the boat dock for us, for His people, to remember who He is and who they are in relation to that. That means this is where everything in life begins and ends. If you're a person of God, you will know that this is where your boat enters and comes back to in the waters of life, no matter what you go through. And He comes out of the gate and He says, I'm the living God. Thus says the Lord. I'm alive. I speak to you. I'm in relationship with you. But then he says something amazing. Look at what it says. I created you and I formed you. I created and I formed you. The people individually and collectively as the nation of Israel. Now, when you look in the Bible, you'll see that the fact that Israel exists at all in the Bible is a miracle of God. Israel did not form itself. The people didn't come together and form their country and form a theocracy and come together on their own. It wasn't their idea. God literally, it's like God just pulled Israel out of the ground. And it's very reminiscent of Genesis chapter 1. In fact, the same exact word is used. The word that's used in Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. God created all of creation, including humans. That same word is used here when He says, I created you, the people of Israel. The word here, the idea here is ex nihilo. The idea is that God creates out of nothing. God created the universe out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. And He did that with the people of Israel. God created them out of nothing. He created this nation and He loved them. And there was a purpose for God to create this nation of Israel and bring them together. They didn't do it on their own. It was simply the goodness and grace of God that there was a nation called Israel and that God would love them and lead them and be in relationship with them and use them to show the world who He was, to show the world how He would interact with people who would follow Him and believe in Him. In fact, it would be through Israel that the Messiah would come, Jesus Himself, the Son of God, God with us. This is amazing. And what we see here is a huge parallel to us, the people of God today. Because God, in the same way He created Israel out of nothing, He did the same thing in our lives. All of us joining together today to study the book of Isaiah. If you are a believer in Christ today, that means that you have been saved, you have been adopted into the family of God, into this thing we call the church, the family of God. He's our Father, we are His children, we are now brothers and sisters, and God created this thing out of nothing. In fact, if you look at your life, you're probably like me. The fact that you know God and that He has forgiven you and that you have a purpose and joy in your life, all of those things, it's a miracle. I want you to just think right now just how many times your life could have turned out far differently apart from God. Imagine if He had not pursued you, if He had not put events in place to bring you to Himself. Imagine what it'd be like to not know God. And if you're here today and you're joining us and you have not stepped into a relationship with the living God, the one who speaks, you can believe upon Him. And when you believe in Him, you will look back at that event, that transformation in your life, the way we all who walk with Him now do. You will see that it is a miracle. God has always created out of nothing. He doesn't need your help. He doesn't need you to add to the equation. In fact, the Bible tells us we cannot. Ephesians tells us that it's by grace that we are saved, through faith. Not by faith, through grace. It's not by our works that we are saved. So we can't boast about it. And it also says that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. All of this purpose that God has for our lives. Waking up every day you come to the boat launch of your life, when your eyes pop open and you step back into the waters of life, you have a purpose. The mundane, the small, the big, it all matters. Why? Because out of nothing, out of a mundane, purposeless life, Jesus saved you, plucked you out of that, gave you purpose, gave you life, gave you hope, and gave you Himself, the very presence of God in your life. See, we can celebrate what Isaiah is saying, just like the Israelites could. He said, I created you. Out of nothing, I created you, the people of Israel. And He says to us today, His church, His people, His family, He says, I created you. This wasn't your idea, the family of God, the church, all the beautiful things that we enjoy together. It wasn't our idea. It was God's. And He continues through these verses in Isaiah to teach us about the boat launch for our lives. So the question is now, if God has created us, what did He mean by forming us? What does God mean when He says, I formed you? So what does God mean when He says, I formed you, to the people of Israel? Well, again, we have to go back to Genesis. It harkens back to Genesis. Because in Genesis chapter 1, the word is used there, the ex nihilo idea, that God creates out of nothing. He created all of creation. He then used the same word, I created you, Israel. Well, now we have this word formed. And this word can be found in Genesis chapter 2. The Bible tells us that God formed man, literally out of the dirt. Again, out of nothing. He just took dirt and made man, right? And He made the dirt that He made man out of, breathed life onto man. He formed us. And it's the same word that He uses here for the people of Israel. I formed you. This idea is so very intimate. This means that God cares about us, not just collectively like a big nation, but now He's speaking to the Israelites individually as well. He's saying, I formed you. I formed each one of you. You're unique. You're together collectively as a nation. We are collectively the church of God now as New Testament believers, but we're also individuals. Let's be honest. All of our waters in our lives, they look different. Your experiences are different than mine. I'm standing on the beautiful Magnolia River right now on this incredible boat launch, and it's awesome. It's a beautiful place here. But the truth is, just a few weeks ago, as Hurricane Sally came across this area, this water was treacherous. This water was flooding. This was a very dangerous place to be. And that's true for you and I. One day the water is smooth, the next day it's rough, the next day it's downright terrifying. That's how life goes. But God tells us that while we all have unique experiences in life, that we collectively as a body of Christ, the family of God, that He, not only did He create us out of nothing, but He forms us. Meaning that He, with His own hands, intimately is involved in our lives. It was true for the first human. It was true for the nation of Israel and the individuals that made up the nation of Israel. It's true today for the church. God intimately cares about His church. He forms His church. He forms the people of God. But not only that, but you as an individual. I think about this. The Bible tells us God is our Father. I have three kids, and I'm intimately involved in their lives, and it's one of the greatest honors and joys of my life. And all three of my kids are very different. I have a soccer player. I have a tri-sport athlete. And then I have a kid that plays two sports. And all of them are different at their sports when I help them. They have different abilities, different gifts. One kid's good at one thing, one's good at another. The ones that play the same sports, they play different positions. So it takes a customized plan for me to be a good dad and good coach for my kids. My kids learn differently. Each one of them, all three of my kids are different in how they learn. They enjoy different things. They like different types of music. So as a dad, I can't just collectively treat them all the exact same way. I customize the approach. I have different things that I do with my kids at different times. Now, there are things we all do as a family, collectively, as the Bell family, but then there's things I just do with my oldest son. There's things I just do with my middle son. There's experiences I only have with my daughter. What does this mean? It means that I'm intimately involved with my kids. I love them. I care for them individually. God is saying to you today that yes, you're a part of this thing called the church. That's beautiful. Created us out of nothing. But guess what? He also forms us. He forms us collectively as the church, but He forms your life. You're like clay in His hands. And that's a really good thing. He's a loving Father. He knows what you need. He knows the little things you're going through today. And let me remind you of this. This is really good news. He cares. God cares about your little stream, your little creek, your little branch, not just the big rivers of all of us together. He sees what you're going through today. You may feel like right now, no one even knows what I'm dealing with, but God does because He created you and formed you. And not only that, forming is something that's ongoing. God's not done with you. He's still forming. You're still in His hands. He's not done taking the rough edges off. He's not done putting things in you. He's not done building you into who He wants you to be. And as you face the tough waters of life around you, you're going to have to remember, this is the beginning and the end. God is with you. And in light of that, you can face whatever's out there when the boat leaves the dock, when you launch at the boat launch. You can face it because remember that God created you and He formed you. So the next verses we look at here in Isaiah in this beautiful group of passages that we're exploring today, as God builds the boat launch for our lives, our everyday lives, He tells us to not be afraid. He says, if you're my people, you do not have to fear. And I'll be honest with you, today this water's not scary, but it can be. And we all know that water that's smooth can be rough the next day. God knows that about our lives. He created us, He formed us, but He tells us whatever you face, again, this has to be the thing that we come back to and the place we start. That yes, life is going to be tough, but we don't have to be afraid. And He reminds you of a couple things here. Number one, He says, for I have redeemed you. What God is saying is that if you're a person of God, you've been saved by faith, by His grace. You've been saved. And whatever happens out there in your life, if you remember who you are in God and who God is, who He's told you that He is and who He's told you that you are in Him, then whatever happens when you put the boat in the water, whatever's around the next bend of the river, whatever's going to happen with the weather while you're out on the water, you don't know that. I don't know what's around the bend for you on your river, and I don't know what's around the bend of the river for me. But here's what God tells us. We don't have to fear whatever it is. We don't have to fear election results. We don't have to fear pandemic results. We don't have to fear the next storm that blows in. If you live on the Gulf Coast where we are filming, you don't have to be afraid. It is going to be tough. We're going to find that it is going to be inevitably tough at times. But God does not want His people to be afraid. And what He says here is not that He'll change the circumstances. Like, God does not look at us here and say to us, His people, He does not say, I will always make it better. I will always change the situation. That's not what God says. What He says here is, I want you to remember that when you face tough things on the water of your life, the river of your life, you need to remember that I have redeemed you. You need to remember your salvation, because no matter what happens on the water, it can't change that. In fact, the Bible tells us this, and it's a beautiful verse, remember this, that no matter what you go through, it cannot separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate us. No height, no depth, no thing above, no thing below, nothing to come, nothing that has been, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Guys, that's really good news. That's the boat launch that you leave from, that you come back to. It's the beginning and the end for you to remember that in God, no matter what you face in your out there, in your river, wherever it leads, wherever it goes, it cannot change the fact that you belong to God. Look at what He says. He says, you are mine. I have redeemed you and you are mine. It's good news. Did you know the Bible tells us that God has bought us with the blood of His own Son? Not only that, the Bible tells us He has adopted us as children into His family. And you are not just in neutral with God because of the sacrifice of His Son Christ. You're not just okay with God. You didn't just part ways with God not owing Him anything now. No, no, you have been brought into the family in the most intimate of relationships. God loves you. He sees you. He cares for you. He created you. He formed you. And look what He says. He says, I have redeemed you. I saved you, bought you with the blood of my own Son, and you are mine. I love those words. I always love being around family members that were proud that I was their son or their grandson. When a child hears his mom or his dad or his grandfather or grandmother say that, hey, that's my boy, I'm proud of them, that does something inside of a child. You know what? I think it's good for us to remember too, because life's tough. The water's going to get rough. It gets confusing at times. You've got to remember where the boat dock is. You got to remember where to come back to, and you need to come back always to this. You belong to God. God says, you are mine. If you are in Christ, nothing can change that. Nothing can separate you. God created you. He formed you. He loves you. He cares for you. He's redeemed you. And you belong to Him. God says, you are mine. Next thing the scripture teaches us here as we look at these beautiful verses is that we will go through tough times. God says to His people, when you go through the waters, when you walk through the fire, when you pass through the waters, when you walk through the fire, what is He saying here? This is a truth, and I love this about our Heavenly Father. He does not water things down. He tells you the truth. He says, as you get away from the boat dock, as you remember who you are in Him, and you live this life, you are going to go through the waters. Meaning that we are not exempt. As children of God, you're going to go through tough times. And all you have to do is look at the scriptures, and you will find that the heroes of the Bible, they also faced the waters. They went through things that were tough. They went through things that were overwhelming. They were hard. They were confusing. They also did not know what was right around the bend. Notice the Bible says here, when you, not if you, not maybe, but we will go through these things. And the call from Scripture is, number one, don't be afraid. Fear not. Jesus said, fear not. Jesus warns us that we're going to face tough times. Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble. There is a pervasive teaching that's simply unbiblical and not true in the modern church world that if you just believe hard enough, if you just believe in God enough, everything will be fine, everything will be smooth, everything will be easy. But my friends, God did not promise any of us a lazy boy chair to sit in for life. He didn't promise us smooth waters. Notice, He does not say the reason you're not to be afraid is because I'm going to make everything smooth. No, He says the reason you are not to be afraid is because I am with you. You are mine. I have formed you. I created you. Now, so the thing we see here is all believers will go through tough things. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when and how and what. You are going to face rough waters because every river gets treacherous at some point. Every river takes sharp turns. Every river becomes confusing, and you may even feel lost at times. So that's why you got to remember the boat dock, the launch, the place that you begin and end. Who God is, who you are in Him, in relationship to Him. He created you, He formed you, He loves you. So today, don't be surprised when the water gets rough. It will. It is. It may be right now. And if you're in the middle of your own rough waters, if you're in the middle of your own crooked river, you can remember this. God is with you. Don't be surprised. In fact, listen, the presence of rough water in the life of a person does not mean they don't belong to God. In fact, it means the opposite. It means they do belong to Him. It's a promise that if you walk with God, you're going to walk through rough waters. And He never says that you won't go through rough times. What He does say is that you will never go through them alone. God is with you when you go through the waters and the fire. So the next thing we need to see about these verses is that God tells us we will face rough water. We will face the fires. The fires are going to burn. The rivers, they're going to run. And the next thing we need to see is that there is variety when it comes to our trials. Everybody's river looks a little bit different. Throughout this series, we've been filming on different rivers around here. We've been on Fish River. Today, we're on beautiful Magnolia River, widely considered one of the most beautiful rivers in the state of Alabama. We were on Weeks Bay, which has both the Magnolia and the Fish rivers running into it. We've been on different parts of those rivers. Some places, it's a wide, rushing river. Other places, it's just a trickle, a stream, a branch. And what we find in our lives is that we all go through different types of trials. Sometimes it's water that seems to overwhelm you and sweep you away. And sometimes your trials will feel like a fire that stings and truly, truly hurts deeply. I don't know what kind of trial you're going through today, but often throughout a person's lifetime, they will face both. They will face waters and rivers that rush and overwhelm and sweep away. They'll face fires that suffocate with smoke and burn and sting with the flame. I don't know what kind of trial you're going through today. But what God tells us is, no matter the variety of the trials, the boat launch stays the same. Who He is and who we are in relation to Him. And so what you need to do is not compare your life to someone else. Some people, their river is going to look different. Some people's going through the fire while the other person's going through the water. What you do need to do is continually go back to who God is and who you are in Him. We will face a variety of trials throughout a lifetime. God remains the same. Our source for our fearlessness remains the same. No matter the fire, no matter the flame, no matter the water, no matter the river, our hope, our confidence, our fearlessness finds its source at the boat launch. Where we start, where we end is who God is, who He has said we are in Him, and He has made a promise that no matter what the fire, flame, water, and river looks like, He is with us. We will go through them, but we will go through them with Him. The Bible tells us in the book of James that we should rejoice when we go through all kinds of trials. There it is. There's going to be a lot of variety in your life. And what you're going to learn is the same God who helps you through the river will help you through the fire. In fact, often it's the things we go through in one stage of our lives that teaches us and prepares us to be able to go through a much rougher time later. This is how God works in our lives. It's how He grows us. It's how He forms us. He created us for this journey. He continues to form us as we're on the journey. And all of our journeys look different, but the one thing that doesn't change, who God is, and that He has promised that He will be with you. So as we look at these verses in Isaiah, there's another thing you need to see that's so very encouraging. It says, when you pass through the fire and the waters, when you walk through the fire and the water, that means that God is not going to abandon you when you're halfway across the river. When you find yourself in the middle of the engulfing flames, God's not going to leave you and forsake you. You're going to go through them. You see, the rivers aren't meant to harm you. They're meant to grow you. They are meant to form you. So you're going to go through them if you remember that God is with you. You will face them. It is inevitable in the life of every believer, but you're not going to get stuck in them. They don't last forever. The flames, they finally die down. The rivers, they smooth out again. And that's what we need to remember today, that you're going to get through them. In the Psalms, there's this beautiful verse that says this: God is our refuge and our strength. He is our very present help in trouble. Now that is intimate, very present. He is not distant from us. And many of us needed to be reminded of that today as we, if you're on the Gulf Coast in our immediate viewing area, you know you've been through hurricanes and pandemics and worldwide. There just seems to be upheaval and tension and uncertainty right now. So we need to remember, as we all collectively and certainly individually go through the rivers and the fires, we need to remember that we will go through them. The pandemic's not going to last forever. Now, there'll be another rough patch in the water on the other side. It's coming. It ebbs and flows, just like this river does. Now, this river flooded just a few weeks ago during Hurricane Sally, but today is beautiful. Today's the day to take the boat out, go fishing. Today's the day to come to the boat launch and look out on the beauty of this river. But other days, at this very boat launch, when you go out into the water, it's rough. It's tough. The woods around us could be on fire, the way parts of our country is on fire right now with wildfires. We will have days when it's smooth. We'll have days when it's rough. But we will go through them. So maybe you're watching right now, and you needed to be encouraged with that. You needed some hope to hang on for one more day, and the Scriptures give us that. Because the rivers, again, are not meant to harm you. They're meant to grow you. God's up to something, and He will complete the work He's doing in you. So I want to encourage you today. God does not promise that everything's going to feel great and be comfortable, but He does promise that He's with you, and He also promises that He's doing something. Again, the book of James tells us there's a purpose to these rough waters on the rivers of our lives. And we got to remember that. We got to remember, or not, if not, we will get caught and lost and confused in the middle of our rough waters if we don't remember where we started and where we're coming back to. And what is that? Always, no matter what the river brings, no matter what fires burn in our lives, who is God? Who am I in light of that? And He has told me, I created you. I formed you. You are mine. In the Psalms, it also says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that He has formed us in our most inner parts, in our mother's womb. God loves you, cares for you. And today, whether there's a tree still down on the roof of your house because of Hurricane Sally, or maybe you're viewing this in an area where the next storm, Delta, may have hit, and you're going through that. Maybe you are going through a financial crisis or a health crisis. Maybe relationally things seem to be falling apart in your life, and you wonder, why is this happening, and how am I going to get through this? And I'll tell you, that's the next step in understanding these verses. Those who remember the boat dock, the launch, can get through the waters and the fires if they remember that they cannot do it alone. So as we stand on this beautiful old boat launch here on Magnolia River, I'm reminded that as we go through the rivers and waters of our own lives, they can feel so overwhelming. They can feel like they're going to drown us at times. We must remember where we begin and where we end. And that's exactly how this passage works. It began with God reminding you who He is, the living God who speaks. He reminds His people who they are in light of that. He says, I created you. I formed you. You are mine. I love you. I care for you. That's good news for us today. God would remind you of that today. And then He tells you, you're going to go through the waters. In other words, your boat's going to have to leave the dock. When you establish who you are in God, in Christ, and He reminds you of that, it's time to live life. And we have to, right? We have to live life. You got to launch the boat. But there comes a time when you got to come back. You got to know where to come back to. You'll get lost out there in the middle of the rough waters and the burning fires. You'll lose your way if you don't remember your starting point. So what does God do here? After He tells them you're going to walk through the waters and the fires, He tells them, here's why. Here's how you're going to get through it. Because I am the Lord your God. You see the bookends? It begins and ends with who God is. He says, I am the Lord your God. And this is a great reminder for us today, because often we will begin in our journey with God, and we'll begin with trusting Him and believing in Him and humbling ourselves. And then we get out on the waters and we try to take the reins back. We try to take the wheel of the boat into our own hands. We try to fight the fires on our own. And we think, you know what? I'll use my own connections, my own abilities, talents. I'll be a self-made person. And that is where the Christian life will come apart. Because here at the end, God reminds His people, you will not pass through the waters on your own. You will do this if you remember that I am the Lord your God. You will not make it through the fires without being burned unless you remember that you do not do this alone. You see, we as believers, we don't do this by ourselves. We don't fight this battle alone. The battle belongs to our God. So we must lean on Him. We must trust in Him. It is not by our strength or our power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord empowering us. And God reminds His people of that. It's interesting when you look at it. God tells His people, you're going to walk through the fires. You're going to pass through the waters. Now, I don't know about you, but when the waters become overwhelming for me in my life, I tend to panic. I tend to want to flail against the water. I tend to want to get out of there as quick as I can. If I were caught in a fire, I think I would want to run. But God says something interesting here. Those words are calm. He says, my people, if they'll remember who I am, if they'll remember where they started and where they'll end the boat dock, the launch, that they will not have to run through the fire and they won't have to be frantic in trying to stay afloat in the water. He says, you will pass through the waters and you'll walk through the fire. That, my friends, is a picture of confidence and calm and peace in the middle of the storm because of who our God is. I am the Lord your God. So today, whatever you're going through, and we're all going through something as we go through the rivers of our own lives, you can have hope. You can have hope that with Christ you can get through it and will get through it. Because let me just tell you, sometimes you're walking across the stream. You're walking across the water and the water keeps rising. And you thought it was going to be easier than it was. And you thought that it was going to be a smooth day on the water, and suddenly there's white caps. Suddenly the water starts rising. Suddenly what looked like a beautiful stream is now a flooding, rushing river, and it catches you off guard, and it seems to be sweeping you away. And it's in those moments when you feel like the water's about to come over your head, when you feel like you are drowning, you must remember you are not alone. It's in those moments that you need to take the hand of your God. He created you. He formed you. He will not leave you or abandon you or forsake you. It's in those moments that you need to take His hand, the hand of your Heavenly Father, and keep walking forward. He never promised to make the rushing river go away. What He did promise is that He'd be with you, that He would walk you through your waters. So trust Him today. Take His hand. Have hope. Have joy. Don't be surprised by a rough journey. Instead, embrace it as you walk together with your Heavenly Father through whatever river is in front of you.